Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Above Politics Show. I am Homer Fife.
And I am Martin Bain, and guess what? You have a new president.
Yeah, joy, oh joy. Well, no, I shouldn't say that, because, you know, we've got to give the man a chance, but so far the only thing I've seen is business as usual. But, you know, what do we expect? The man's a politician, that's what he is, and that's what we're going to find out as time goes by, that this is not our savior, that he is simply a politician.
And we also have a special guest on the line. We've got our UK correspondent, Neff, on the line, who's going to hopefully jump in with insightful comment and reasoned discussion. How are you, Neff?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello, Martin. Hello, Homer. How are you?
Hey, Neff, how you doing? But I have one question to ask. Now, I've known Neff for quite some time, and I'm wondering where this contribution is going to come from.
Ooh.
Okay, that was just a joke, Neff. It's okay to laugh.
Nasty.
As somebody once said to me, that's American humor.
Yes, it is.
So, a quick question for you then, Homer, is I noticed that they had to do the swearing in twice. That doesn't exactly bode well, does it?
No, that's a bad start. And, of course, the biggest thing everybody's jumping on is the fact that he didn't use a Bible in the second one. Well, everybody needs to understand the swearing-in ceremony. The ceremony itself is exactly that. It is a ceremony. He has to be sworn in because that is a mandatory requirement for his office. But the Bible and all did everybody catch the poem? I hope you did, although that was absolutely one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life. But as far as his second swearing in goes, I'll support the man in this. The Bible wasn't necessary. He was sworn in, he took his oath of office, and he is now President of the United States.
I need to jump in here because of my observation of this. It was not Barack Obama's fault that the first oath was wrong. It was the Chief Justice's fault. And although people believe that Obama can do many things, one thing he can't do is control somebody else's mouth.
Agreed. This was just, it was a mistake. I will support Martin in this. It doesn't really bode well for the rest of his administration if he can't get the first 4 minutes right.
Not only that, but as well, it's come out in our news today. I don't know if, I'm sure you're aware of this, but the music was faked as well. I thought that was really funny.
Shocking. Faked music.
Never mind.
Well,
I was very disappointed in the entire thing, actually. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but his inauguration speech was nothing but more of the same. I think that if you would have taken one of George Bush's speeches, you could have placed them side by side and simply changed the dates and the names, and it would have been exactly the same speech. I don't, you know, now what he's done in office for the first few days, now that's pretty radical, but I'll be talking about that at the end of the show.
Yeah, so we won't touch too much on that one. So guess what? Viewers, listeners, there's another Homer rant at the end of this show. But one of the reasons that I wanted Neff on was to talk about the second bailout of UK banks, and our venerable Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer have decided to give even more money to the banking sector, and the British taxpayer now owns about 70% of the Royal Bank of Scotland, which is a fairly major financial institution, which basically means that in reality there are probably three or four nationalised banks in the United Kingdom. So I wanted Neff on board just so that we can have a talk about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're in kind of freefall at the moment. The GDP has dropped considerably. It's something like nearly a full percent in 3 months. And the government's answer is to keep throwing money at it. And I think that's slightly insane.
Well, And I've got to agree with you. I mean, if you think about, you know, what the first tranche of Money Watch, which was, you know, from a UK perspective, is a fantastic sum of money, you know, hundreds of billions of pounds being given to the banks. And guess what? It hasn't actually done anything. And what I see is most of these banks have actually just taken the money they've been given by the government and just used it to consolidate their balance sheets, rather than, I think, the aim of the money was to try and stimulate lending in the marketplace. And all that's happened is these bankers, and I think you can change the first word of banker into something more appropriate, these guys have just taken the money and said, hey, we don't have to do anything.
Now, yeah. I have a quick question, Neff. Well, actually, you or Martin, either one, being so close to the issue. As far as England being a quasi-socialist state anyway, this sort of throwing money into the banking industry, I don't see as how that is any kind of a shocking thing as far as you guys are concerned. I think the question that I have here is exactly when does that stop? I mean, if you take a look at the problems that we're experiencing, as well as you and most major industrialized nations in the world now, it's as a result of a ridiculous amount of borrowing and throwing the money into open pits with no justification. And since that's the problem, aren't these bailouts simply furthering the problem? I mean, aren't we going to look at even worse GDPs and that sort of thing down the road because of what we're doing now?
Yes. There's a wonderful, and I say wonderful in the scope of the statement that it makes rather than the ideology behind it. But there is a wonderful party political poster going up on billboards all around the country at the moment. And it's a picture of a baby. And around the baby, it says, mother's eyes, father's nose, Gordon Brown's debt. And that is probably the truest statement that you can see at the moment, because the government are throwing money at these things and it's not going to go away. If they actually bail the banks out, all the banks will do is look after themselves, and the government borrowing will still be there. The banks aren't going to pay any of that back. The taxpayer will pay that back at the same time as they're paying the banks. And that just means more money being spent by the taxpayer rather than by the banking institutions. And that's crazy.
And I think that's an extremely astute observation. I mean, one of the things that I perceive from this is the fact that we now own 70% of Royal Bank of Scotland. We 100% own Northern Rock. I would say, well, why doesn't the government just turn around to Northern Rock and say, here is £250 billion, go and lend it? Because ultimately, that's what's happened. You know, if you're got your bank account in the United Kingdom with Royal Bank of Scotland, which has several subsidiaries underneath it, NatWest, I think the Coutts is also them, you're laughing because your money is actually safe. Your money is guaranteed by the British taxpayer. Just as if you had an account at Northern Rock, you don't really care anymore because you know the British government are just going to carry on funding it and bailing you out. So I just think we ought to ask our politicians, what are you doing with the money? We ought to hold the bankers accountable. And I know in the States, you know, people have been asking, well, where's all this money gone? You know, in the States, they've given them billions of dollars. In the UK, we've given them billions of pounds. Where is it? And, you know, Neff and I will see in the UK papers, you know, there are businesses failing. And I've heard people on the radio, MDs of businesses, saying, well, my business failed because my bank took away my £200,000 overdraft. They just overnight said they wanted the money back. That, to me, doesn't seem what all these bailouts were trying to do.
Well, I'd agree with you there. The other thing that it's been in the news today is that the banks won't lend to first-time buyers at all. In fact, it's been recommended now that first-time buyers of properties rent because the favourable banking amounts are going to people that have a 40 or 50% deposit for a property. Well, nobody's going to have that kind of money. And the banks aren't lending to new people to inject things into the economy. So quite how they expect their business to continue and for them to make profits to build their empires again without doing that, I don't know.
What I don't understand is why the people of our respective countries can't understand the audacity and the hypocrisy of everything revolved around these bailouts. You're talking about the government taking our money to bail out people who were using our money in an irresponsible way. Why can't people see that the ridiculousness of this entire venture?
Absolutely, and I know something in the UK that this is hit the press in the last couple of days is that there are going to be bonuses for members of the staff at Northern Rock at the bottom end, at the coal face, so to speak. They're looking at 10% bonuses. But I did hear a press report that said the acting or the CEO of Northern Rock could be in line for a 60% bonus. Now, I know he's been brought in to run Northern Rock after the previous management team fell, but I'm absolutely sure, and I know this is, you know, this has been reported, that there are people in the Northern Rock management team who, as you've quite rightly said, Homer, were responsible for the, I try to choose my words carefully here so that, you know, maybe some lawyer doesn't come knocking on my door to say you said something inappropriate, but, you know, I have to think these people, you know, at best were negligent, I think at worst could have been sort of criminally minded here. They just took a perfectly good bank through stupid decisions, really messed it up, and there they're going to pay bonuses to these people. Staggering. And I'm sure in the States people have been saying, why are bankers getting bonuses?
Well, to my mind, that's a criminal act. If they're using taxpayers' money to pay people incentives for failure, then to me that's criminal and it shouldn't be happening.
But unfortunately that is what's happening. All right, I suppose at the bottom end, at the people who are, you know, having to deal with irate customers, okay, I can probably at best think that's not too bad, but I'm sure they're going to be middle management people. And the interesting thing is, though, Nev, that people who work at Northern Rock, aren't they civil servants? I don't see every other civil servant in the United Kingdom getting a bonus for doing their job.
Well, that's it. I've made no secret of the fact that I'm a union steward, and I imagine sooner or later one of the major unions is going to challenge that, because a 60% stake, or a 70% stake as it is now, is basically, it's a control which does make them civil servants. And, you know, the government has consistently said that it will not increase pay for civil servants, and that in fact civil servants should be receiving less money. They're having a go at the final pension schemes now to try and rein some more money into the system. So giving the sort of like bailout money to high-flying people as incentives for failure, that is criminal. I'm convinced.
Now what you guys are saying brings up an interesting aspect over here in the United States. If the United States, as a government, takes control of certain organizations, let's just use the original orchestrators of this entire debacle, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if the government takes over majority control, do the employees of those two organizations become government employees? And if so, are they eligible for government benefits and or government restrictions?
It's a good question. I mean, we have, in this country, we have the Monopolies and Mergers Commission, who deal with that very same sort of issue with regards to when companies merge and how many how much of a say certain people have and how much of a monopoly that they're allowed to have. If they looked at this from the point of view that they would normally do with a private company, I'm sure there would be fines rolling and stuff like that, and investigations.
And you just take that a little stage further, is that if this control that the UK government have of the UK banking sector, if you roll that out to Europe, I'm absolutely sure if a private company tried, you know, to own Northern Rock, to own 70% of Royal Bank of Scotland, to own percentages of the other banks that have been bailed out, the EU and the European community would be turning round and saying that single individual has an unfair competitive advantage, not only in the United Kingdom, but also in Europe.
Exactly. And it's well, the rules are being rewritten, aren't they? As they go, they make it, well, I'll be blunt, they're making it up as they go along because they don't know what to do. They haven't got a clue what to do.
Yeah, and shockingly, you know, we've elected these people. You know, you've got Gordon Brown, and you could turn around and say up until maybe 2.5-3 years ago, people would probably say that the UK economy was probably going along fairly well. You know, I think he's probably one of the longest serving chancellors we've had, certainly in the last century and this century. You know, and I'm not going to shoot the man down for, you know, some of what he did. He probably did have the UK on a fairly even keel. But, you know, you have to think, I know, you know, we, all three of us work. My company I work for had seen that there was a downturn coming and started to make provision for it 12 months ago, yet I didn't see any evidence of the government doing anything here, yet private business had already seen this coming and had already taken moves to, you know, reduce costs, to be more careful with expenses, yet the government, they just blithely didn't see this coming.
Well, I do wonder if Brown's eye was off the ball and it was more on the power transition with Blair than it was on the economy. But I do take your point on board. A lot of people saw this coming, apart from the people that could do something about it, which is very, very strange considering they're supposed to be watching for it.
But the question is, who are the people that we think can actually do something about this? Do we think that the Federal Reserve in the States, the, you know, the Bank of England and the European Central Bank and numerous banking organisations around the world, do we believe that, those were the people that should have seen this coming? Because who could have seen that banks were basically making money on selling other people's debt? And that's the real essence here. And I'm sorry, Homer, we're going to have to point it straight back to the US and say, yeah, it's to do with the subprime marketplace in the States. Basically, they were selling debt onto numerous people, and unfortunately, some of the big credit agencies were saying this debt is good debt, therefore I can guarantee it. And unfortunately, it wasn't good debt.
Yeah, but Martin, you can't just lump that into one huge bucket, because people have been selling debt. Banks and lending institutions have been selling debt since time began. When I bought my first house back in 1986. My mortgage was sold no less than three times before I sold the house. I mean, that sort of thing has been happening. The problem is what you address with the subprime mortgage debacle is the fact that they were selling bad debt. You know, you can't have the government guaranteeing a loan and then having the government default on the loan and expect the private business to step in and support it. And that's the problem. The government's been sticking its fingers into the private business far too long and far too insidious. And now it's come back to bite them. And what's happening, in my opinion, the horribleness of this whole thing is the fact that the government thinks that by sticking their fingers further in, they're going to be able to fix this. The whole thing goes back to Clinton signing the bill supporting the subprime lending, saying, well, we need to give all these poor people homes. Well, that's all well and good. But eventually somebody has to pay for these poor people's homes who can't pay for it themselves. I mean, giving somebody and the government guaranteeing a loan for somebody to buy a house that can't afford a 2% down payment is ridiculous to the sublime. And yet that's what's happened.
But if I can jump in there,
sure.
You've just given $250 billion to bankers when you could have given that to the people who could have bought their houses.
Exactly. And then they'd have had that. But instead, the government's trying to bail out these bankers and these institutions who, again, I'll make the statement again, they were irresponsible with our money to begin with.
And I think, you know, both of you make a good point there. You know, we could turn around and say, well, yes, why doesn't the government just turn around and say, okay, if people want to buy their house, they can just take the mortgage from the government? Because in the UK, we have the ability to do that. We have the whole of the Northern Rock Organisation, which was one of the major mortgage lenders in the United Kingdom before they went up, typically, you know, to people who probably were on the edge of being able to afford it. But we have, in the public domain, an organisation that could, if we said, here you are, Northern Rock, £250 billion, go and revitalise the mortgage marketplace. That could happen. You're right. Why are we just giving money to banks? But interestingly, not every bank in the United Kingdom has felt the need to draw on this money from the government. I'd be turning round and saying, and I'm going to be corrected here, but as far as I'm aware, I don't think HSBC and Barclays have taken any money from the government. Does that seem about right, Neff?
I think that's about right, yes. I don't recall some of the smaller banks. Yorkshire Bank, I don't recall.
So you have to ask, why? What is so wrong with what Lloyd's, TSB and potentially Royal Bank of Scotland, and there are some others, but what are they doing so wrong that potentially Barclays and HSBC and some of these other smaller banks, it's turned down? I think the issue is that they had management who had their eyes on the ball, and they probably realised some time ago that the subprime or doing this sort of selling debt and was actually going to cause an issue. And that, what I think is really interesting, some banks have turned around to the British government and said, we don't need your money.
Well, a perfect example of that is the fact that the big three automakers over here, you've got General Motors, you've got Ford, and you've got Chrysler. Strangely enough, Ford didn't need any money. Ford turned the money down because several years ago, Ford took out a long-term loan with their eye on the ball, anticipating a downturn in the economy, and now they can draw on this open-ended loan. So perhaps the same thing's happening with your banks over there, as you had certain banks who, as you say, had their eye on the ball, anticipated a downturn in the economy, and have prepared for it, where others were just living off of this and just loving every minute of it.
And I just got to turn around and say, I made a prediction about Chrysler changing ownership, and I see that Fiat have looking or have taken a fairly significant stake in Chrysler.
That's amazing. That is amazing. What Fiat were going down the pan 10 years ago. Have they? Is Chrysler so devalued that Fiat can actually afford to buy them?
It seems so, but just to sort of digress a little bit, but absolutely. And I suppose one of the things I think is, well, how can we actually change everything? What can we actually do to make our politicians aware that the vast majority of people are scratching their heads thinking, why are we giving, it's now going to turn out to be trillions of dollars and trillions of pounds to one sector of the British, the American, and if you take it across the whole world, in Europe they've been fairly free with money, so you're looking at trillions of pounds, dollars, euros that have been given to basically one sector in the global marketplace, and most of us are saying we don't think that's the right way to be doing it. I don't know how we actually tell our leaders this is the wrong thing to do.
You can't. I think it's gone too far. I think that you have a government now, we have governments, both of us, that are so huge and so insidious and so regulatory and so determined to regulate, that there was a time probably in the past somewhere, maybe during Carter's reign here in the 1970s, that we could have said, okay, government, stay out of private business completely. Just stay out of it. If it goes down, it goes down. If it goes up, it goes up. The market has been proven to be able to handle its own. And the problem is when the government steps in and starts regulating, deregulating, guaranteeing, and making all of these promises that obviously they couldn't keep. And now they're having to throw money after these broken promises and failed policies.
Because, I'm going to throw a question out to both of you. And I think Homer, you and I discussed this, that I turned round on a couple of shows and said, we ought to let these banks fail. No one has satisfactorily told me why we should have bailed these banks out. Why, do you think that letting potentially, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae go, letting Northern Rock go, maybe letting RBS go? I mean, Iceland did it. Iceland let their banks go. Would we be actually in any worse situation if we'd have just said, guess what, guys, fail. You lived or died by the sword, you're going to die by the sword.
Neff?
Ooh, it's a good one. I think, to be perfectly honest, I think they should, certainly in the UK, I think we should have let them go. In America, and I say that because in the UK, I think our social housing system is better placed to cope with that. I'm not convinced that's the same in the States. Although I would say that the degree of assistance that's been given should have been less.
I think that we'd have had, first off, let me address the reason the United States didn't allow anything and won't allow any of these large corporations, banks, be it say banks or any of these other organizations, to fail is votes. All right, because these politicians know that if that happens, enough people are going to step up and are going to vote them out. So that's the reason it wasn't allowed. And I think that if it had been allowed on the scale that we were looking at here in the United States, there is, and I don't know enough about it really, I don't think to comment intellectually at this point, but there is a side to this that says the market could not have recovered from it, that it would have been enough of an impact on the market to have so negatively affected the world economy that it would have been devastating to not only ourselves but other countries. And, I think that has to be looked at as well.
I'm not so sure that's the case. I actually think that if they'd have done it and they'd have let it go, then the market would have corrected itself a damn sight quicker than it has been doing. Because the bailout is an incentive, almost, for the market to do nothing, because it doesn't have to. But if things had been let go, then you would have seen things happen really quickly with regards to consolidation and to repackaging things and put together. I actually think it kind of shot ourselves in the foot with the bailout.
I can't argue that. You very well may be 100% on the mark there, Neff. I don't know that what you're saying isn't true. I know that even after the bailouts, I have personally lost 41% in one of my 403Bs, which is a retirement plan that we have here. So, something's not working.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming close to end of the show. So if you agree or disagree with anything either Neff, Homer or myself has said, come to the show thread, post away. If you have any comments for Homer and I, you know what to do. You can either U2U us or email us. And I certainly want to say, Neff, I appreciate your time. It's I think this is something we might do a little bit more often. It's certainly been fun having you on the show.
It's always a pleasure. It's nice to be here with you guys.
Neff, it was great to have you, partner. I love talking to you.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
I think that's about it. So I want to thank you all for listening to the Above Politics show. As I said at the start of the show, there'll be a Homer rant at the end of this.
So I am Homer Fife.
And I'm Martin Bain. And we'll see you next time on the Above Politics show.
Homer Fife, and this is just the way I see it. Some of you people better wise up before it's too late. What am I talking about? This love affair you're having with a politician. I will present to you that too much power in any man's hands is not a good thing, and worship is terrible. Nothing that any human being does is ever completely good, no matter what you may think or what you may want to think. Be very careful that you don't wish for him to do so well that you fail to see where he is doing wrong. That's our job. We're the watchdogs for the politicians. Let's talk about a little bit about what he may be doing wrong. How about the immediate reversal of all the former president's policies in the first 4 days? Now, some of you may think that these policies are failed, and though you're wrong, you have the right to think that. What I am talking about is just more turmoil, something this country, something this economy does not need. Instead of going in like gangbusters, it would behoove Obama to take a look at what he's facing and address the issues in a mature and thoughtful manner, something he is currently not doing. Closing Gitmo with no plans of where to send them, at least no place they'll send them that they won't face a punishment that you, the people of the United States, are not ready to accept. Beheadings and such, or perhaps, let's move them to your individual state. How about next door to you? What? No tankers? Darn. How about federal funding for private research? When the country is for all intents and purposes broke, where is this funding money coming from? You. Oh yeah, that's right, we're going to increase the taxes on corporations. Gee, that's smart. Let's increase the taxes on the corporations so that in order for them to make a profit, they have to do one of two things. They have to lower the value, or completely lower the value of whatever goods or services that they produce, or they have to lay off their workforce. Guess what they're going to do, people? They're going to lay off their workforce. So you people are all going to be out of job. Look at the jobless rate. States are reporting 10% plus unemployment rate now. Why? Because the corporations know what's coming. They know that a democratically controlled House and Senate and a Democratic president is going to be murder to them. So they're laying off people. They're laying off in order to protect their investments, and I don't blame them. How about an $850 billion bailout of this country? Where is that money coming from? I'll tell you where it's coming from. He's going to borrow more from the United States. Where else can he get it? It's our money. Now, look, we all like incentive checks. And the incentive check, the first incentive checks that came out under George W. Bush, they worked. Do you know why they worked? Because the economy was roaring. The economy was in growing mode. It was ready to go. And those incentive checks caused us to go out and spend money. But what's going to happen now is people aren't going to spend money. They're not going to spend money because they're worried about being laid off and or they're being laid off. So the money's going to go into the banks and we're going to hold it, we're going to save it. And the country's just going to get in worse shape. Borrowing, at least irresponsible borrowing, is what got us in this mess in the first place. Look, we all need to pull together, okay? For right or wrong, this man is our president. But we have got to hold his feet to the fire. No different than we held George Bush's feet to the fire. No different than we held Bill Clinton's feet to the fire. And look, some of you that are old enough and know what I'm saying here, we lived through the Carter years. And look, we held his feet to the fire and we survived that. And we can survive this. We are a strong nation and we are a strong people. And if we pull together and make Obama responsible for the actions that he takes, make him understand that we are not going to accept more borrowing. We are not going to accept more debt. We are not going to accept increased government and increased spending, all the while taxing the corporations out of business, taxing us out of our jobs. Because that's what's happening. We're being taxed out of our jobs. If you tax these corporations, they are going to lay you off. If that's what you want, then fine. But right now, we are not a socialist country, and the government cannot tell these private corporations to not lay people off. And that's what's going to happen. Think about it. They have to either devalue their goods or services, increase the prices of their goods or services, or lay people off. I present to you, look at what's happening now, and you tell me what they're going to do. Look at four individual states now reporting over 10% unemployment. My state, my personal state I live in right now, is projected to have a 17% unemployment rate by the end of this year. 17% of the people in my state will be unemployed. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's because of George Bush? You go ahead and keep thinking that. I'll tell you what it's about. It's because the corporations are scared to death, and rightfully so.
And this is just the way I see it.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.